Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Welcome to the Shame Free Zone. This is Veronica Monet, and my guest tonight on New Year's Eve is Stephen Otero. He's a manager of Sexy Spirits. Thanks for joining me, Stephen.
Thank you, Veronica. Thanks for having me.
So what's the weather out in New York tonight? You got ice and snow?
Right now it's some ice and snow, but I'm lucky where I live. The crew here is very good, and they clear everything away.
Oh, well, that's good.
One of the advantages to condo living.
Well, I live out in the woods, so I had about a foot of snow 3 days ago, and it's down to more like 3 inches now. But I'm expecting more. And my driveway gets choked up, and then, fortunately, my next-door neighbor comes down with his tractor every 3 days, so... I'm not usually stranded for too long, but I am usually stranded for a couple days.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's okay. I love living up here.
I had that when I lived upstate New York, but now that I'm back in the city, that's...
More civilized, huh?
Yeah.
So, what the heck is Sexy Spirits? This is like a place where they have workshops or something, or is this some kind of a commune?
It's a center in New York. We're also on the Internet, so you can visit us on the Internet at www.sexyspirits.com. You can see the programs that we have there listed in our calendar of events. We also have a video section that you can click on, and you can see some of the videos, clips of the past programs and workshops. We also have a cable television show, which airs in New York on Tuesdays at 10 p.m. on Channel 57 in Manhattan.
And you're actually the host of that, right?
That is, I share hosting with Anton, the founder of Sexy Spirits. He does some of the shows, and I do some of the shows as well. You can, however, also access it via the Internet because it's streamed live on MNN.org at the same time. So you just go... anywhere, anytime, at that time, you just match up, if let's say you're out here, it would be 3 hours earlier, and you can see it. We do a large variety of different programs. We have different speakers who come in, and also our founder, Anton, who is certified by Master Montauk Chia. He teaches Taoism, Taoist practices, but he's also certified, he's also been taught by Dr. Patricia Taylor, I believe you have spoken to.
Patty. I'm friends with Patty.
Yeah. He teaches the expanded orgasm techniques that Patty teaches. And Patty has been there several times to teach workshops, do weekend workshops, and do some of her more advanced work.
She's great.
She's a wonderful person.
She's got like a really top-rated personal life podcast.
Yes.
I don't know if you've been a guest on that. I have.
I've seen that one, and what I do is sometimes what we also have is we have a blog. So, my blog is called The Sex News That You Can Use. What I do is I find different interesting pieces, and I post them on the blog there.
Oh, wow.
So I look for a different, I'm constantly surfing the web, going through all the different lists that I know, all the different people who I know, and finding little snippets here and there and putting it up.
So, how about Twitter?
I am on Twitter, and what I generally do is when I post a new blog, I'll put on Twitter. I have a new blog post up at, and they can go to the address.
Yeah, I use Twitter to notify people that I'm, getting ready to broadcast a show when I'm doing a live one.
Oh,
so I apologize to our listeners tonight. This one is not live. It's a pre-record for New Year's Eve because, darlings, I have no intention of staying home to work on New Year's Eve. But and I'm sure you don't either, Stephen, because you've got a pretty busy social life, right?
Oh, well, I never know what I might be doing. I remember one New Year's Eve, I left the apartment, Anton's apartment, at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I never know what's going to happen.
Wow.
That particular New Year's Eve, I think it was 2 years ago, we actually had some pretty nice weather. So we had a rooftop party to celebrate the New Year's.
Oh, wow.
One of his friends has a building not too far from us, and we go up there. Mostly during the summertime, we have like a little rooftop party, a little gathering for people. And that particular night, we had the New Year's. And that's something that was quite new for me. I'm someone who didn't like to be in the city, particularly at New Year's Eve after midnight. But I did it that night.
Well, now, was this at Sexy Spirits?
It was a few blocks away at another building.
Okay.
But there are many people who were associated with Sexy Spirits, different people who have gone there, and also people who attend the workshops. They were there, and also a lot of Anton's friends.
Now, is Sexy Spirits open to the public, or do you have to become a member?
No, it's completely open to the public. We're totally transparent. Anyone can come to the lectures, and they can come to the workshops. We generally have a lecture every Monday night, and they're generally around $10. And sometimes Anton does. Oh, thank you. We try and keep it that way.
I mean,
sometimes
especially for New York.
It is, you know, considering.
That's unbelievable.
Considering what some of the real estate is out there.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so you got very reasonable prices. You sound like a pretty down-to-earth guy. I'm thinking, you know, don't know much about Anton. Can you tell us a little bit about him? What could people expect? Is this going to be a situation where it's hard to socialize? Are you going to feel right at home? Or?
I came there as someone right off the street. I came there as a regular person. That's how I first got introduced to it. I came for one of the lectures, I think it was with Deborah Annapol, and I was really amazed at all the people who were there. And, you know, it was a packed evening, and I started coming back, you know, to the different lectures, and I got to know Anton. And what I did was I would send him an email, I have an article based on the lecture that had been given previously. And he said, this was great stuff. He says, where'd you find this? I said, that's what I do. I'm like a researcher. He says, you know, I'm going to have a job for you. And then I started, you know, helping him out here and there, and work the door for him, you know, help him buzz people in. And after a while, maybe a month or two, he would tell me, you know, I can't do these lectures anymore without you being here. I said, well, don't worry. I'll be here. You know, I'll help out. And I started meeting him outside of Sexy Spirits at other lectures given by other people. And one night, we got a lecture for the woman who wrote the book Transcendental Sex. And Anton was really blown away by her. And he said, you know, I got to thank the person who told me to come here tonight. I said, that was me. And he said, okay. He says, you're hired. Come to the office tomorrow. We'll start you. So I passed the audition.
I said, you term yourself as an average guy who is actually a fan of all these sex celebs. And now you know them and you're actually one of them. I mean, you're getting ready to have your own radio show, right?
Yes, we're going to start in January right here.
Cool. Now, you're going to be on Thursday nights just like I am.
Yes.
What time slot?
I don't think that belief has been given to me yet.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I think that's really cool. We might have to compare notes and find out what topic you're doing, and we'll play off of each other. Might be fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I've long enjoyed talking to you. I've been a fan of yours for a very long time.
You're very sweet. I think they suggest you've been a fan of mine for a long time, a very long time.
Well, I've been aware
ancient.
Of who you are.
Huh?
I've been aware of who you are from reading you about you in Salon and Salon.com.
Yes. It's okay. I don't make any secrets about my age.
Oh, you are so beautiful. Don't start that.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
You are.
Well, you know, it's all about sex. You know, you're also a very good-looking guy, by the way.
Thank you.
Maybe we should just get it on right here on the...
Well, okay.
This is an adult station. We can do anything we want.
That's true.
Well, that would make a real happy New Year.
I would have a happy ending to a happy New Year, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Even though it's my own.
Well, who knows? Who knows what direction we're going to take this channel in? Who knows? It's an interesting thing, this whole thing. I mean, you know, like sexy spirits. You're talking about, you know, my website where sex and spirit come together. This whole idea of trying to put the spirituality back into sexuality without neutering it, you know?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about sexy spirits. What was the premise that it was founded on?
Well, Anton founded it about 9 years ago, and he saw there was a need for this type of workshop, this type of class, this type of place where people could gather. It's not really here in New York. I mean, there's different, you know, we have the different sex parties and the swinger thing, and we have the BDSM thing, but we didn't have a place where people could just, you know, come and gather and learn new things and attend different workshops. It was very, very kind of sporadic here in New York. You know, every now and then someone would come out here and teach something, but it just wasn't here. So he decided to do this, and he started going and doing different workshops. And then I came along, and I started programming it. I started bringing in people from the outside. People like Jamie Waxman, people like Rachel Kramer-Bussell, people who I had seen and heard about from an old cable show that used to play in New York called Naked New York. And what was great about Naked New York was that not only all these people were on it, they gave the websites and they gave the email addresses. So I said, oh, you know what, let me see if I can call this person. Let me see if I can contact this person. Hey, would you like to do a lecture here at Sexy Spirit? Said, oh, yeah, I'd love to do one. Okay, and that's basically how it started. I was just an average guy, a regular guy. I'd never done anything like this before. I'd always worked at regular type of jobs. And I'd always seen all these people on these different talk shows, and, you know, and I was quite a fan of their efforts. And then suddenly, I'm meeting them, I'm talking to them, and I'm talking to them as an equal, as a peer. And now,
well, that must have been pretty exciting.
It was, because it definitely marked a shift in my own consciousness and my own awareness of myself, and saying, you know, for years I'd always felt like somebody who was outside a restaurant looking in through a window, and now I'm in the lobby, and now someone's asking me, finally I'm being seated at the table.
Literally. A very exotic table of many varied delights, I'm going to guess.
Yes, it is quite, you know, it's quite expanding, I'll put it that way. I've seen quite a few different spectrums of experiences since I started working there, and since I became his personal assistant. I'm kind of like my title, but I do manage the day-to-day events there.
Well, you talked about Anton as being kind of like a Dean Martin. It's just like working for Dean Martin. I don't get that. Does that mean he's drunk all the time?
No. He's a very charming. He's very health conscious. In fact, he's always doing like these fasts, and he's very conscious of his health. He does a lot of exercise. He does a lot of Taoist classes. He's a teacher of Taoism. You know, from someone like me...
Well, he sounds more like the Dalai Lama. I still don't get how we get Dean Martin in there.
Well, because, you know, he has a great charisma and a great performance, a performance ability, because he was also a world champion ballroom dancer, and he still teaches ballroom dancing and tango. But he's a ladies' man. He knows how to talk to women. He knows how to behave among them. He knows how to be a Don Juan. In fact, he has a course he teaches called Sacred Don Juan. And it's how one man can please a woman, but also please many women. And how to do it also.
Talent.
It's a talent, and it's also
It totally is. And, you know, I think it's great that he's teaching a workshop on it, because, you know, us women would love to have more men who know what the heck they're doing.
Well, there was an article that Susan Crane Bakos wrote recently about Anton called The Man Who Gives Women Happy Endings.
And, you know, actually, though, I wasn't even referring to, like, sexual technique so much as the Don Juan aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how to seduce a woman.
Yes, there's ways of, you know, mostly what it is, it's a change within yourself. It's a change within your own consciousness. It's a change within your own thought patterns and how you look at these things and how you act and react. So it's a lot of work that you have to do on yourself as well. You know, you just can't go to these things. Like I see some of the guys come in, the first-timers, and you can see they're like a kid in a candy store. They're totally surprised at what they see. But after a while, you know, that kind of like, that kind of thing goes away, and you can see a very hushed look about them. And the ones who really make it, the ones who really get it and understand it, they're very respectful of what they see going on there. They're very respectful. When Anton demonstrates, for example, the extended orgasm techniques, when he has a model there, it's not guys gasping like that. They're very respectful of the situation, and they see the technique and the great care that he gives when he does these.
So explain that for our listeners who are probably wondering, what the hell is an extended orgasm technique and how do you teach it in a workshop? Give us an idea, like take us into the room as if we're just walking through the doors of Sexy Spirit and we've just paid our $10 to get in. And
well, you pay a little bit more for this.
A little bit more, okay.
That's for the workshop. But for the actual lecture, there's the demo is $10-$15, and that's you come into a very warm room. It's very well lit. We have a fire log going. You sit down. You take a seat, and Anton comes on. He talks a little bit. Maybe he shows a little video, and then the model, who's going to be his demonstration partner, will come into the room, and she'll take her place on the massage table, and he proceeds to give her a full-body massage.
And is she wearing clothes?
She comes in wearing a robe, but then she generally goes nude.
Okay. So
most of the time.
She's completely naked up on a massage table. How many people are in the room?
I would say about between 20 and 30.
Okay. And men and women?
There are men and women. There are couples and singles.
And what's the usual average age? I mean, you know, do you have 20-somethings and 50-somethings?
We have a wide variety of ages. We have 20s, we have 30s, a lot of 40s, some 50s.
Yeah. Okay.
Professional 16? People.
Yeah, okay. All right. So here we are. We're sitting in the audience with another 30 people looking at this naked woman getting a full body massage.
Yes.
By Anton. And then what happens next?
Well, he proceeds to demonstrate and also teach as he's doing the massage, but you can also see that his attention is fully on her. And he always tells her, this is for you and for you only. Anytime you want to stop, you tell me. Any part of the way you want to have the whole complete treatment, that's fine. If you want to stop after just work on your back or your legs, that's great too. There's no performance pressure or anything like that. And it just goes into a very respectful, and you can see the attention that he's giving you and how he's working, because a lot of times also we have multimedia capacities there, so we have a camera on so that people can see close-ups of his hands working, and you know, he's basically playing her like an instrument. And it's very done, a very artistic, and a very, I'd say, very extremely respectful and loving way, treating this woman like a goddess, which is how all women should be treated.
Yes, absolutely, I think so. Are you familiar? You've been over to One Taste, right?
I actually have the distinction. I am the person who actually unleashed One Taste on New York.
Oh.
I'm the one who they. I contacted them, and they contacted me, and I sort of like was there. I opened the door for them to come into New York. They had their first lectures here.
Wow. Okay. Now, they do something called oming.
Right.
And I'm wondering, can you, since you are familiar with One Taste, mm-hmm. can you tell us if oming and extended orgasm technique is the same thing, or if they're different, and if they're different, how they're different?
I would say there are some differences. They both basically come from the work of a man called Victor Barranco, who started the Morehouse in California about in the late 60s. And so
right.
all this work basically descends from Victor Barranco and the work that the techniques that he discovered and refined, and everybody else took from him and went off and did their own things. Oming to me seems very much working as a meditation, and from what I have observed of it, and you know, I'm very supportive of it. I think it's great, and I think what we do is also a wonderful thing. I think we go a little bit more to the passion. What we do. I think we go a little bit more for the passion, a little bit more for the emotion. So from what I've seen of oming, it's a little bit more, I would say, meditative.
Okay, so oming's a little more meditative and expanded.
Extended orgasm.
Extended orgasm.
There are different names for it as well. Some people call it extended orgasm. Some people call it expanded orgasm.
Okay. All right.
But they all basically descend from Victor Barranco and the Morehouse.
And the technique for both is about a man manually stimulating a woman's genitals
yes.
with his hands, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Now, but sometimes it's also a woman manually stimulating a woman's genitals, or is that not true?
That has happened. I've seen that.
Okay. I mean, you know, because some people who do Tantra really want the male-female energy, and other people are kind of take an attitude like any gender can do it as long as you're working with masculine and feminine energies.
Absolutely. I've seen it done both ways.
Okay. Well, can you describe the technique for us? Because, you know, is a man inserting his finger into the woman's vagina, or is he just playing with her clitoris, or is he using three fingers, a fist?
I did once attend, this is a funny story, we did a demonstration at Paddles, which is a BDSM club in New York, and he did expanded orgasm with fisting.
Wow.
Which was quite amazing, and he had his model up there, and he was working on her, and he's lecturing at the same time as he's massaging and fisting her. And the people in the back of the audience go, "We can't hear you." So the proprietor of Paddles comes up to me with a microphone, and he goes, "Okay, go up there." So I had to jump up on stage with the microphone, hold the microphone just above where he's working, and I'm going, "Please don't shake to my hand. Please don't shake."
Were you nervous?
Well, I wasn't so much nervous as I didn't, you know, I wanted to make sure I did my job and my part properly. And his demonstration model was having extended orgasms and multiple orgasms. It was quite amazing to see.
I'll bet.
And I said, "This is the one I'm going to have to put down the record books." This will make for a good story sometime. And now,
you're ready to do porn now. Have you?
No.
Have you ever been on a porn set?
I've never been on an actual porn set. I was on a set of an R-rated film. I had worked on the last Chuck Vincent film that was directed in New York in, I believe, in 1988. And I got the job because I had known a porn star, very, very well-known porn star at the time named Tracy Adams, who I'd met at a video dealers convention. At the time, I was a struggling actor in New York, and we were talking, and she said, well, I'm doing a film now, an R-rated film. You want a job? I said, yeah, is it an R-rated film? She said, yeah, call up the office, tell them I sent you, and you want to work. And I went down there, and I got 2 days' work.
Working on the set?
Working as an extra.
As an extra in a porn?
An extra in an R-rated film that was directed by a very well-known porn director.
Oh, okay. So it was an R-rated film.
It was an R-rated film, but there was a lot of toplessness and a lot of bottomless going on.
Okay. All right. Well,
I was sort of on the fringe of it.
You haven't really had your cherry popped yet.
Not quite yet. Maybe I'll ask when Candida Royale directs her next movie, I'll ask if I can come on the set and watch.
You should. You haven't lived in bus. You've set on a porn set. Have you ever watched Femme Fatale's How to Female Ejaculate?
Yes.
I was on the set that day.
Wow.
I had come there wearing a suit because she thought that she was, you know, Sundial thought she was going to want to have me be the expert, you know, have me come in and talk. And they had Shannon Bell, Dr. Shannon Bell. I call her the Olympic ejaculator. I've never seen a woman ejaculate like this woman. and then Carol Queen, and, of course, Debbie Sundial herself. And then forgive me, please, but I can't remember the name of the other woman who was wearing the hat and reading a book while with one hand and masturbating with the other one.
I remember that video.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I that was an amazing day because I sat on the set all day waiting for them to bring me as an expert, and they decided not to because, you know, these things have a life of their own, and the orgasms and the ejaculate, they pretty much decided they didn't need the expert after all. But it was, it's just a really intoxicating thing to be on the set watching all this happen.
I could imagine it probably is. I've seen a lot of behind-the-scenes footage. I'm very good friends with Barbara Nicky, the great photographer, who's also been a lot of the, she did a lot of photography on the porn sets back in the 80s.
I think the 70s and 80s, that's when they were still making actual movies.
That's when they were still shooting on film, the so-called Golden Age. They actually had plots, they had dialogue, they had stories. You had to be able to act. There was a time when they, you know, it came so close. And I think there's actually quite a few that I would call are actual real movies. They had the story, they had the dialogue, you know. But we're such a schizophrenic society when it comes to sex that it couldn't just quite happen.
No, because we, you know, I like to put it this way, that we take our sex and put it in the ghetto.
Yes.
I mean, you know, no offense to people who are living in real ghettos, but, I mean, you know, just using that term as a metaphor, we banish it to the outskirts of town, the part of town that we don't really want to live in.
We want to be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with regards to our sex.
Yeah. It's very interesting because, you know, when I'm talking, the thing I can upset people so much because of my refusal to be ashamed or embarrassed about things.
Yes.
That becomes, you know, more of a taboo, actually, than my doing anything that I might do. It's just the fact that I'm not ashamed of it. How dare you not be ashamed?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, for God's sake, if everybody does this stuff, but you're only supposed to do it if you're embarrassed.
Yes. Well, it's interesting if you look at it. When some porn actresses try to cross over into the mainstream, if they do, oh, I'm so sorry what I did, I didn't know what I was doing, I was on drugs, and then they kind of get a sort of an entree. But if you have one who says, yeah, I did it, I enjoyed it, I made a lot of money, generally the door does not open for them.
Yes. In other words, you got to pull a Tracy Lords.
Exactly. Which if I could ask her one question, it would be, how did you get a passport?
Yeah. Well, for our listeners who may not be familiar with who Tracy Lords is, she worked in the porn industry for several years under a fake ID, telling, you know, the people who employed her that she was of age when in fact she was 16. Then, yeah, after having a very successful run and making quite a bit of money in the pornography industry, she decided to go mainstream, and the way she did that was to disavow herself of every pornographic film she'd ever made and call it child rape, and it all had to be taken off the market.
Yes.
And in that, then she got to be a basically a B actress.
Yes.
Somebody told me she was in a mainstream movie just recently.
Yes. I think it was Jack and someone shoot a porno, and then
I don't know the name of it, but it just came out. I want to see
that.
Yeah,
it wasn't out too long ago. It just came out. The interesting thing about her is that what saved everybody from jail was the fact that they had a videotape of her with a passport, a government-issued passport that said that she was of age. And, the defense was, hey, if you guys said she was of age, who are we to question it? You're the government. You gave her a passport.
Oh, that's how that works.
That's how it works. Right. It wasn't just a fake ID and the fake license. She had a real passport.
So, in other words, if you take us down, then the government's going to have to take a fall, too.
Right, because they're the ones that gave her the passport.
Yeah, yeah. You would think that was good enough.
Yeah, and that's what saved everybody from going to jail. They said, "Well, hey, you guys follow the regulations." I mean,
it's pretty dirty. I mean, pretty dirty. I think to put everybody in that kind of a position.
Well, it says something about one's character to do something like that.
I think it does. If she really was like a sexual abuse survivor or something, and was on drugs and really felt like she was just kind of reliving some kind of past trauma or something, I could definitely cut her some slack. But still, the way she went about it was like it was so calculated.
Oh yeah, I think it definitely caused a story of that. But then who knows what the real story with all these things are. I mean, I've heard so many stories. I didn't know what I was doing, and it turns out you perfectly do know you knew what they were
doing.
Oh
yeah.
But who knows? I mean.
Well, who knows? But you know who I do believe is Linda Lovelace.
Yes.
Because she just seems so messed up. In the latter part of her life, it was like unlike Tracy Lords, who just seemed like she was very enterprising young woman.
Yes.
Linda Lovelace to me, it was of age, but it just seemed quite traumatized and off balance.
Well, from what the stories that I always heard about, that was a very strange master-slave relationship that was going on.
Yes, I've heard that too. By the way, for our listeners who don't know who Linda Lovelace is, shame on you, but she had the starring role in Behind the Green Door.
Well, actually, it was Deep Throat.
Oh, Deep Throat, that's right. She wasn't in Behind the Green Door, was she?
No, that was Marilyn Chambers.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'm also the erotic historian. So
I was just going to say, you're a real pornophile. Yes, Marilyn Chambers. Now she's a cutie.
She was definitely at that time, because she was the Ivory Snow girl.
Yeah.
And that was the shocking thing about her, the fact that she was 99, 44, 100% pure, and then she comes and does something like this,
Yes.
And she was like the really, like probably one of the first really big superstars of that industry at a time when, it was just right on the edge. It could have gone mainstream, but it didn't quite. You know, they had their in those days they had the theaters, they had their own style of Hollywood style premieres. But you know, it was sort of like
like you said, the golden age. The golden era of porn, and people thought it was gonna. You know, this is the '60s. Everybody's like all excited. The '60s and '70s, everybody's excited. We're gonna have a new relationship with sex, and it's gonna go mainstream, and people are not gonna be ashamed anymore. That didn't last long.
That didn't quite happen. Didn't last long enough. Unfortunately, I think there were several factors that contributed. But the interesting thing is. The thing that gave porn its widespread appeal was the VCR. The VCR brought it into the home and allowed you to watch it anytime you wanted it. At the same time, it killed it for making in terms of feature films and because you didn't have the revenue anymore. You didn't have the revenue from the theater. So,
oh yeah.
And once they discovered that not only could you play this stuff on video on a VCR, you could actually record it on videotape. For like, what, a tenth of what it would cost to make it.
Oh, yeah.
Once people had that that clicker in their hand, the fast forward button, who's gonna want to sit through acting and story? You know, there goes your.
Well,
like
you know who? Me.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of the movie, but I Aunt Peg.
Right.
Remember Aunt Peg? I mean,
Juliet Anderson.
She did the movies Juliet Anderson did those movies in the 70s she's a delightful woman and got in the industry I think in her 30s,
yes,
which was kind of considered late by some people, and stayed for quite a long time. I mean, just
yes.
A very vivacious, sexy woman who I personally think has quite a bit of acting talent.
Oh, absolutely. There were many of them who did. Veronica Hart was a wonderful actress, I thought.
She's a sweet person, too.
She is. I used to see her when she used to come to Showtime, and she would do her live acts, and she was very, very, very sweet and very gracious to talk to me, because at that time I was not an insider. I was not a professional in this business. I was just someone who was, a fan. And I had the great pleasure of seeing her doing her one-woman show at the Old Harmony Theater on Canal Street. And she played this phone sex operator. At the end of the show, she comes out on stage with this chainsaw and lets it rip.
Little aggression there, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Shannon McCalla too. Have you ever met her?
I've met her. Yes.
Another
I was supposed to write a monologue for her one time because she had seen Veronica Hart's stage show, and in one of the shows that she does this monologue, and I knew her manager at the time. And he says, "Could you write her something?" I said, "Yeah, I could probably write her something. You know, how hard could that could be?" But it never quite happened. But I did meet her. I did talk to her. You know, and it's interesting what you said about Shannon. She was one who did not renounce her past. She did not say, "I had a terrible time. I did drugs. I didn't know I did." She said, "Yeah, I did it. I liked it. I had a great time. I made a lot of money." She did not cross over.
Wow. Oh,
it was denied
okay.
to her. And Shanna is an incredible actress who can act just as well as any mainstream Hollywood actress, and she has a lot of talent. So does Sharon Mitchell, so does Sharon Kane. Any of these women could easily do a movie of the week, any of those type of shows. And she was not allowed to cross over because she didn't do the, "I didn't know what I was doing, I was on drugs."
Right, because... we've still got the old whore Madonna complex in our culture here. You're either a good girl or a bad girl.
Yeah, only the ones who said, "I didn't know what I was doing, I was on drugs." The one exception is Jenna Jameson. She's the one exception to that rule, and the simple reason is because she has so much money, it doesn't matter.
She was on the Tyra Banks show.
Yes.
And they treated her like royalty.
Yes.
And I was amazed. I was like, I cannot believe this. Finally, the sex industry has gotten to this point where at least, you know, one sex worker is being toasted instead of roasted.
Yeah, and I think the simple reason is because, you know, she comes across so well and so sweet, but the woman has so much money, it doesn't matter if you respect her, it doesn't matter if you won't cast her in your movie, she can green light a movie on her own. She could pick up the tab.
True, and it's also, I mean, it speaks a little bit about our culture that if you have enough money, society will forgive you for how you made it.
Yeah, I think that the secret to crossing over is you should have enough money so it doesn't matter to you if you cross over or not.
Right, and that's pretty much the only time they'll let you do it. You got to be able to buy and sell the people who would be in charge of making that decision.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yeah. Jenna is a producer. She owns her own company. Too many of the women who cross over because they want to continue a career. They need to make money.
Yeah.
Jen doesn't have to cross over. She doesn't need anybody's money. She could probably buy off a studio if she wanted to.
I dare say. The girl's a merchandising maven.
Absolutely. You know, and if she doesn't cross over, you know, she'll go live in retirement somewhere in Arizona. What does she care? You know, she's a star. She's treated like a star. She lives like a star.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah, exactly.
It's no different. Jenna Jameson is treated by the American public as a bona fide movie star. It doesn't matter what she's done. But
and that actually has, now, it's going to take a while before that has an effect on other porn stars' careers, but it has shifted people's attitudes.
Yes.
It just, you know, by virtue of the fact that everybody knows who she is, and usually, you know, when people say her name, their eyes light up. They seem to have a positive hit around her. You know, it's a positive energy.
I think so because of the way she presents herself.
Yeah.
And she doesn't come across as harsh or hard. You know, but like I said, she's got.
Which isn't
so
to
much
say
money.
That anybody else does either. But yes, anybody who's going to be the first one up front has to kind of have this magic combination of characteristics that don't threaten the status quo too much while you're changing it.
Right, exactly.
You can't be too threatening, or you won't get to shift the paradigms at all.
Right, you have to. It's you're walking a tightrope.
Yeah. Yeah, well, women especially. I mean, any time a woman tries to move into new territory of any kind, well, I think about, like, what happened in the race for president even, you know?
Right.
It was like, I was just like, how many times, if they're talking about the presidential candidate's ass, it's probably a woman.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, no, too much cleavage. Oh, not enough. Oh, tears. No, please cry. Let us know you're human. Oh, no, don't cry. Yes. You know, you're a sissy. I mean, it's just like you can't win.
I mean, when they talk about Sarah Palin, they just talked about her legs, basically.
Yeah.
That and Tina Fey.
Yeah. No, it's tough. It's tough. We still have got such a double standard for women.
It is. Well, you know, I think a lot of the problem is, the way we teach our history, we teach it that, you know, the Puritans discovered this country, that they were, you know, the only ones here, and that's a complete falsehood. You know, there was another group here around the same time and were the complete opposite. But they were
fill us in. Who are they?
Well, there were various different groups who had different names. Some were called the ranters, some were the levelers, the Fifth Monarchy men, and they were the complete opposite of the Puritans. But they did not get to write history, and so they're mainly forgotten. They're only remembered by, you know, obsessive researchers like me.
Okay, obsessive researcher. You say they're opposite of the, I've never heard of them before. I'm sure my listeners would like to know, too. How were they the opposite of the Puritans?
Well, they were sexually free. They danced. They swore. They were not Christians, as you would call it. I would call them probably prototype pagans. So they were the complete opposite.
Were they persecuted?
I would say probably that they were so. They basically just were like probably, you know, they did not write books. They did not write themselves into history, and they got forgotten.
Wow. Well, that's really sad. I really do get tired of hearing about how this is a Christian nation, because I think, you know, Thomas Jefferson said he could not find one redeeming quality in Christianity.
Well,
or was it, one thing to recommend it?
Right. Well, the thing also to remember, you know, for I don't want to, you know, blow people away, but most of the founders of the American Revolution, most of them were all Freemasons, and probably quite many of them were in the Illuminati. So, this country was founded as a Masonic Republic. You know.
And that means to you what?
Well, that means that it's meant to be secular. It's meant that, you know, all creeds are respected, but no one creed or dogma or doctrine should be officially sanctioned by the state.
Oh.
You know, religious freedom is the freedom to worship however you want to worship. You're free to worship the God of your choice, and you're also free not to worship. You're free to believe, and you're free not to believe. And it's like, go ahead, do what you want to do. As long as you're not hurting me, I don't care what you do. You know?
Right.
Don't make laws that restrict the things I can watch, the things that I can read, the things that I can think about. You know,
yeah.
If that's your problem, that's then you stay with who you are. But don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to live my life.
Yeah, well, I mean, separation of church and state. I was on Fox News a couple of years ago debating Congressman John Kasich, and you know, we were talking about whether or not prostitutes could make good school teachers, or vice versa. Can't school teachers be good hookers? And this was all about the Shannon Williams case, a school teacher in Oakland who got busted for prostitution. Mm-hmm. And it was big news. This was 2003. And, you know, the argument they kept putting forth was, well, the kids won't be able to respect the teacher. And I said, you know, it's the same argument they used against the gay teachers.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't want our children being influenced by gays. This is not the role model we want our children to be around. And we finally get past that. And you know, and now it's like, oh, we don't, couldn't possibly, the kids could not respect a woman who worked in the sex industry as a school teacher. And I said, well, you know, the Supreme Court already decided what two people do in their bedroom is nobody's business. But
absolutely.
So you run out of arguments, and they take him and this other woman from SALT, take the argument straight to the Bible. I mean,
right.
The first thing out of their mouth is, do you read your Bible, Veronica?
Do you read your United States Constitution? Do you read your Declaration of Independence?
I said, yes, I have. And then I said, but I don't want to have a discussion about the Bible. I want to talk about you keep your religion out of the government. And they go, well, this isn't about religion. And I guess to people like that, religion is something about, like, sex. Like, okay, well, I'm a Protestant, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Jew, but we're all supposed to accept that the Bible is not about religion. And I'm like, how'd that happen?
I think most people are raised with what's called the fear of God. They're raised to be so afraid that if you do this, if you step out of line, you're going to get zapped, and you're going to wind up going to hell. And, you know, you can go and research throughout history. These are social creations created by men for the purposes of control. Let us not forget that perhaps Jesus' most beloved disciple was Mary Magdalene. And I do not believe that she was a prostitute. I believe she was a sacred priestess. That's what I choose to believe.
Well, I personally believe, call it prostitute, call it sacred priestess. We're talking about somebody who is multifaceted here. I think she was probably an apostle. I think she was probably his lover. And I think that she was also a woman who engaged in sex with other people for sacred and perhaps mercenary reasons.
Yes.
This whole idea that somehow or another she could only be this or she could only be that, for me, doesn't sit well, because I've just spent the last 17 years of my life being a lot of different things, you know, an escort, a mother, a wife, a political activist, an educator, an author, all those things simultaneously, but they have to come along and say Mary Magdalene can only be one thing.
Yeah, I think she was an incredible multifaceted person, and I think, you know, that being a sacred priestess is a noble choice. I think it's a great thing. We need so much healing in this country, particularly men need so much healing, and they need healing, and they need instruction. And why shouldn't they get it from a tantrika or a dakini or a courtesan? You know, that's probably the best thing that could happen for someone to learn, you know, or to do observe the programs that we do and the protocols that Anton uses when he's doing the sacred, if he does expanded orgasm or sacred spot massage, to learn these things and to really learn them well and to change your life, but also to change your consciousness and to change and to affect your own healing as well. There's a great amount that needs to be done, because we're laboring under, you know, 2,000 years of a puritanical philosophy and culture.
We are. And I am reclaiming the words whore and prostitute, because those words are so scary to people. They're just as scary as the word witch, you know. And all of those things, whether it's prostitution or paganism, these are like the ancient spiritual roots of human beings. And they embraced female power.
Yes.
And for that reason, we have denigrated them. But, so I know a lot of people would say, oh, don't call yourself a prostitute, don't call yourself a whore. And I certainly don't have to. I mean, you know, my God, when you're making the kind of money that I was making escorting, I could have called myself anything I wanted. But I like using those terms for the very same reason that in, you know, the gay and lesbian movement, they used words that have been used to put people in prison, to put people in graves.
Yes.
And as long as it's okay to imprison or kill people behind those are words I want to wear.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we're about out of time. We've got a couple more minutes. Would you tell us again? We both got a little fired up here. Tell us again about Sexy Spirits, some contact information for people who might be traveling to New York and want to stop in and say hi to you, and check out Anton's extended orgasm?
Yes, extended orgasm.
Okay. I want to make sure I get the word right.
Extended
orgasm. Tell us how they can get a hold of you.
It's actually expanded orgasm.
Expanded orgasm.
The best way is to go to the website, which is www.sexyspirits.com. You can see all the programs which are currently being held. You can go to the blog. You can see my blog at the Sexy Spirits blog. That's the best way. And also to sign up on our mailing list, register. It's free. And you can join, we also have different online communities. Check that out as well. You know, join a community. See what's going on. Also, you can look at the different video, the different, podcasts which are on as well.
Okay. And how do they find you on Twitter?
You can go to me. I'm, Stephen Otero. And you can find me also on Facebook.
Okay.
And you also can find me here probably next month.
Yeah, I was just going to say before I signed off, welcome to BBS Radio.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And
I hope you'll be one of my guests.
I'd be honored. I'd absolutely be honored. And I definitely want to have you on my show again, and I'm looking forward to tuning in to yours. And let's check in with each other and see. Maybe we can have a whole sexual curriculum going on here.
Absolutely.
Thursdays is sexual enlightenment at adultbbsradio.com.
And I like to, you know, anytime you're in New York, I'd like you to stop by, and we'd like to have you do an evening.
I can't wait. Matter of fact, I'm gonna email you about that, because I'm gonna be actually coming out to Yale University in February.
Oh, great.
I think they're nearby, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't know where Connecticut is in relation to New York.
Well, Connecticut is it's a different state, but it's not too far away.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll talk.
So, I'll finally get to meet you in person.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
Me too.
All right, Stephen, have a really happy New Year.
You too, darling. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me. Sering kesepian. Kenapa tak mentus kabar berita?